This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, guys. DGS, happy Tuesday to you. Isn't it weird how time just almost, it just ceases to mean anything this time of year? Does that make sense?
Yeah, because it's either moving really slowly or so insanely quickly that you're like, 100%. I don't know what time it is.
Like,
I don't know what day it is.
Time's been flying, but the fact that it's only Tuesday this week seems impossible. So, I don't know. It's like all bets are off during the holidays with everything. Maybe that's kind of the best part of them. Anyway, tomorrow morning, 11 a.m. I bet they don't have breakfast at 11, do they?
Yeah, they're probably done serving it at that point.
Crap. Maybe we can get them to save a couple of jalapeno biscuits. Right?
Yeah.
If you're listening, Hardee's Route 3, please put back two jalapeno biscuits, those the pork things. That's the
jalapeno.
Have a couple of those too.
That's how you said it.
Did I?
You said pino.
Jalapeno. Oh, you say peño?
Isn't that how you say it? Jalapeno?
Probably. Jalapeno. Yeah, you don't say it like that. That's not how you say it. That's not even how I say it. So we'll be there tomorrow, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Please come on out. Get some DGS swag. Be generous, hoping to, you know, raise a lot of money again tomorrow. And then next Thursday, we wind up. It'll be my last live show of the year. Tony's going to be hosting for the rest of the year. Bo Matthews is going to be in. Rachel will be here most of the time, although she's taking a couple of days. And that'll be a big blowout show next Thursday evening in the Chesterfield Valley.
With lots of special guests.
Special celebrity guest.
From what I hear.
I said celebrity. Yesterday was your day not to be able to speak. Today is mine.
Yesterday, I don't know what it was. I was just leaving certain letters off of words. Like, not pronouncing anything correctly.
It happens.
It was nuts. What are you doing,
Jalapeno.
Tony?
Jalapeno.
It's kind of in the middle.
Jalapeno.
Kind of I will admit you don't say it.
It's a hard
jalapeno.
A.
Yeah, you said jalapeno.
No,
yeah,
that's a hard A.
Yeah.
Jalapeno.
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 I'm sorry, sir. What are you talking about?
Posthumous.
Post, yeah.
I'm just saying he did from now on. He did.
Tony, what do you got in the psycho notebook?
After
jalapeno.
Death.
That guy's more serious
jalapeno.
About it.
Jalapeno.
Jalapeno.
Jalapeno. Mm-hmm. You guys fans of the band Roxette?
I don't know them.
You got the look?
Yeah. The lead singer died.
You got the look.
Yeah.
Okay. He's dead?
He's dead?
Posthumous?
It's a girl.
Oh,
and
sorry.
She's dead.
And her family probably doesn't appreciate you saying it like that.
Marie Fredriksson, the Swedish vocalist who scored a string of late 80s, early 90s hits with Roxette, died yesterday following a 17-year battle
17
with cancer.
17 years?
Oh, my gosh.
Man. She was 61 years old. Roxette, one of Christine Colombo's favorite bands. She loves...
Does it make her less stern?
There,
when you play
when you
Roxette,
play that song, yeah.
She stops grimacing and goes into just a blank
three
look.
Three Billboard number ones.
What are the other ones?
Bruce Springsteen doesn't have any number ones. Roxette has three.
Huh.
Must Have Been Love. That's the one from her movie, Pretty Woman. Listen to Your Heart, which is kind of the...
Oh, I like that song.
It's kind of the ballad, and then, of course, the look.
Yeah.
It must have been love. But it's over now.
Do you think you're rich for the rest of your life if you have three number ones?
I think so. I mean, you got to think that those songs are still getting played on the radio a whole lot.
Speaking of cancer for 17 years.
That's nuts.
Doesn't it piss you off? I understand that
we can't find a cure.
Yes. And that we waste so much money. My God.
In what respect?
Like... Every Like, not just the government saying, we're going to spend a billion on this.
Yeah. But okay, even, you mean that those funds are allocated to other things and we have this thing that affects everyone?
Yes.
We have this thing that literally affects everyone.
I didn't have to finish that. I could, if I would have said, Marie Fredriksson, the lead singer of Roxette, died, she was 61 years old, what would you think she died of?
Right. Yeah.
And cancer would be the first or second guess for sure. Because it's so prevalent. And yet, there's seemingly, I know that we do treat it better than now than ever before, but it just doesn't seem like there's been any breakthroughs in a very, very long time.
Yeah, and Alzheimer's,
maybe I'm wrong,
which I have in my family and am terrified of. Mm-hmm. Same thing. Mm-hmm. Like, let's stop dicking around here. You know, it's we all known people, at this company that spent so much time with some pretty ingenious schemes to avoid working. And like, would it be easier just to come in and do your job?
Right.
It's infinitely easier to do your tasks than it is to cover your tracks. And it just seems that we waste so much time and money on so much nonsense, which would be fine if all the diseases were cured.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go ahead. Have a 53 million boondoggle trolley.
Yep.
But
I was just thinking the trolley is a great example. Obviously, that money wouldn't have went directly to cancer research.
Sure, it was an investment that didn't work. But
it's still something that makes you go, oh.
It's real money that's gone. It could have went somewhere else.
It's gone.
Real money that's gone.
It's posthumous.
That money is posthumous.
That money did.
Here's one. A recent poll conducted by a Democratic polling group called Global Strategy. Now I'm doing it.
I prefer Global.
You guys.
I trust Global.
Global Strategy. shows support for impeachment is falling. This poll was conducted throughout the month of November, and it started in the month of November at the beginning of the month with people who claimed that they were undecided on the issue of impeachment. So going into the month of November, everybody in the poll was undecided on impeachment. By the end of the month, 42% of the people polled say they felt exhausted by the proceedings, 27% say they feel confused, and only 12% say they now support impeachment. So only 12% of the people were convinced by all the hearings on Capitol Hill that
Do you guys think?
Democrats are right.
I know you don't know this, but what's your gut? What percentage of people were engaged in the hearings? Not like us watching every day because it's our job, but normal people. What percentage like came home and turned on Fox or MSNBC and are like, wow.
25% tops.
I agree with that.
Yeah, I just don't think, I mean, when the impeachment stuff first started, I was listening to podcasts every morning and I was reading every possible thing. And now I have to make myself care and pay attention because they've just gone on for so long and each hearing is 16 hours and we're hearing from a bunch of people that I don't know why we're hearing from them. There were a couple people that the Democrats called where I was like, all you're doing is boring me. If you would have stuck to your stars, like Sondland was a star and Sondland was saying stuff that made me go, oh my gosh, like this is bad. But then when you follow that up with randos and it's boring, we're very simple creatures. We just want to get to the meat of it. We want to say, did he do it or did he not do it?
I've talked about this before and it's like just stuck in my craw that I'm sure you guys get it, but I just feel like I'm not articulating it very well that... That's one of my pet peeves, is when someone sacrifices the show, the effectiveness of their message, for self-indulgent reasons.
Yeah.
Like, no one cares about you, Miss Representative from Ohio, that we don't know your name.
I'm sorry, with all due respect, nobody cares about what your grandpa did and your uncle was blah, blah, blah. It's not relevant to the conversation at all.
My great-grandfather fought in the, who cares?
Yeah, like, good for you guys. I'm happy for you. I don't know why you're saying it on television right now, and I don't know how it pertains to Donald Trump and Ukraine.
And
I don't understand how those things are related.
I find it annoying, but I get mad because those people are literally my employees. We pay their salary. You work for us. And if you're this bad, if you're this stupid, If you can't find your ass with both hands on this stuff, what are you doing the rest of the time when it really matters?
I just got to say one thing. I am glad that the hearings went on long enough for me to see the Republican counsel bring his paperwork in that Whole Foods bag. It has really just put the cherry on top of 2019 for me. It's made me very happy.
I think that this impeachment proceeding, these hearings, should be the dictionary definition of the Dave Glover rule of everything takes too long.
Yep.
I mean, this is the most glaring example of you could make so much more progress in so much less time.
Here's what you do.
Just eliminated all the BS.
Here's what you do. They could have put on the first two guys, Kent and Taylor, Ivanovich and Sondland in one day.
Yeah. Yep.
If you got rid of all the 5-minute questions, yep, you could have had them all on one day, and it would have been a devastating day for Trump.
Yeah.
And then you stop.
There should be 7 people on those committees, but not then, 42. One of those committees had, I think, 43 members who all get 5 minutes, and the two chair people get 45 minutes. And then there's all the point of orders and the breaks and everything. I mean, that is insane.
You both talked about when an 8-year-old says something funny and everyone laughs.
Yeah.
And now you can't get rid of them.
Right.
They're doing their shtick. That's what it's like. Like, you had me. You really made an impression on me. That very first day when it was Kent and Sondland and they did their opening statements, I was texting people like, I think Trump is screwed here. Now, by the end of it now, I can't even remember what they all said.
Right.
I think it was Kent and Taylor the first
day.
Because they were really zeroing in on Taylor, and everyone was either asking him to prove, like, you're the person that's going to prove that there was a quid pro quo. No, he's just there to disclose what he has in his notes, and it just turned into such a, it was a circus of, like, people like, this is going to be my few good men.
Any communication,
moment.
Whether it's a stand-up routine, it's me doing public speaking, it's a church sermon, or it's a fight with your spouse. The longer it goes, the muddier it gets. It's just a general rule of life and communication. Mm-hmm. That if your spouse has you nailed on something, if you can keep that argument going for an hour, everyone's dirty. Everyone's covered in crap.
Yeah. I feel like you brought up Yovanovitch, how they should have had her on the first day. If I were one of the Democrats, I wouldn't have even put her up, because all it did was confuse people. There was no moment where it was like, bam, there's a text message proof that Trump specifically wanted to get rid of this woman so she would get out of the way so he could do corrupt things in Ukraine. No, there was nothing like that. It was all smoke and mirrors and I felt this and blah, blah, blah. That, I think, immediately took them 5 steps back whenever they called her to the stand.
That's a good point. It's a solid point.
How much more interesting would it be if there were 7 people on the committee, 4 to the majority, 3 to the minority, and there was a 2-hour time limit, and it was basically just a hearing?
Yeah.
And you guys get to ask questions, then we get to ask questions, and we have 2 or 3 hours to get this wrapped up, and you can follow a line of questioning and not have to the way they ask questions is so frenetic. And then sometimes the witness is stalling or, you know, or putting on a show or intentionally slowing things down. But sometimes they really just are checking their notes.
Yeah.
And they'll get asked a question and, you know, did you know where the funds went on November 19th? And they're like, well, hold on, let me check my. Well, it doesn't matter.
You're right.
And they'll just go on because they have 5 minutes and there's 43 of them. And so they just try to scream out as quickly as they can.
It's not effective.
It's not effective.
And then this is also
it's not informational.
This is also not effective. Rachel Zimmerman, do you love Lucy more than you did your first kitty? It's a yes or no. And you're like, well, you know, kitty had. It's a simple yes.
It's a very complicated matter.
That never works. It's never worked once. No. Because juries think you're a bully.
Yeah.
And if you're like, just answer yes or no. I don't know.
But that's the
what
other
are you
thing
trying
about
to hide?
That's the other thing about these hearings.
Let the person answer.
That's the other thing about these Capitol Hill hearings is that you see these people asking certain questions or going down a line of questioning that you know it would never hold up. But there's no judge.
Yeah,
there's no jury.
Questions.
There's no real. There's no. The rules of a normal courtroom do not apply.
Yeah.
So it's just makes it even more ridiculous.
Agreed.
That's it.
Welcome back, guys. DGS. Do you see the new Nike Major League Baseball uniforms?
No.
So every Major League Baseball uniform next season will have the Nike swoosh above the right pec, which for the Cardinals is like a half an inch above the Angry Bird.
On the bird on the bat.
Bird on the bat, yeah. Sorry.
Angry Bird.
Well, for the football Cardinals, it's called the Ornery Bird.
Yeah.
So it's like, it looks like the Cardinals wearing a hat. So a lot of people have said, okay, we're done here. Because the only thing that has been somewhat sacred has been baseball, and now you're just whoring it out.
Well, all sports have done a pretty good job. Well, maybe not all sports, but the four major sports in the United States have done a pretty good job of keeping advertising off of jerseys and uniforms. Now, there are, you know, maybe an Adidas logo or something like that. But yeah, I was just pulling it up.
I don't think it looks that bad. I mean, I'm not, you know, super into jerseys.
Yeah. Well,
I know people who are, and I could see this being extremely upsetting.
This will make sports purists
insane.
Angry.
Yeah.
No doubt.
At least it's a clean logo. It's not like, you know what I mean? The Nike check is very just like,
yeah. Yeah. I'm the
check.
Kind of fan I wouldn't have noticed.
Check.
What? The swoosh?
There you go.
Some people say the check. Drake says the check. Checks over stripes. Nike over Adidas. Okay. I'm just saying.
Check.
The swoosh. Speaking of birds and hats, since you said that the swoosh looks like the bird is wearing a hat.
Wait, so I'm not crazy. This was a real thing. The pigeons.
The pigeons and the tiny cowboy hats?
Yes.
Yeah, and it's up on the DGS blog. Go to 971talk.com/glover. Animal rescue groups in Las Vegas, Nevada are flipping out because several pigeons have been spotted across the Las Vegas area wearing tiny cowboy hats. There's several videos on social media. They're up on the DGS blog. It's very adorable, very cute, very funny, but the pigeon rescue groups are worried that someone is capturing pigeons and gluing these hats to them, which would obviously be abusive and horrible.
I was about to say, do they have like a little string under their chin
or something? No, they're just sitting there. I like to think...
And they're just popping up?
They're just popping up.
This isn't like in a display of some kind?
These pigeons are roaming the streets. I like to think that the pigeons have appropriated these hats themselves. They're starting a little pigeon fashion company. Soon there'll be in vests and boots and whatever, but... It's probably more likely that someone is gluing the hats
could
to their heads.
Could be pigeon hazing.
Oh, yeah.
Could be Mike Tyson.
He's he got did a have huge, his pigeon thing.
He has a huge
And he lives
pigeon,
in Vegas.
And he lives in Vegas.
I think we cracked
he
it.
He has a huge pigeon collection.
He's super
cracks
weird.
The case.
Honestly, you catch the guy. It is glue. He's gluing little, I just looked at the pictures, pink cowboy hats to pigeons. What's the sentence?
Oh.
You're king. What's he get?
This makes me a terrible person.
Nothing.
Yeah, I would be like, please stop. Please try to think of a better way to attach the hat to
but
the pigeon.
But it'd be like, you know.
Try to get the pigeon's consent first.
We are
but carry
very,
on.
Very upset with you. It was really funny.
Yeah, I thought it was really cute.
Like, one year in prison for every pigeon we find.
Do you make blue pants for chickens?
It's kind of a Mandela effect thing. Oh, I got so mad at Nick last night.
Uh-oh.
Oh, did he just...
Nick and I are the best of friends. We really are.
He just flushed the Mandela effect down this toilet.
Oh, God, yeah. He was like, well, I think it really is just like an artifact of the human mind and that...
Shut up, Nick. We don't care.
I'm like, what? Man. Multiverse. And he's like, oh, well, maybe there's a multiverse. But, you know, and he's like, give me some examples. And you know how you know you're about to be shot down?
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, Bruce Springsteen. And I did all the examples from yesterday.
Yeah.
And Rach, this is the one that really got me. Because Nick was a big Pokemon person.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, Pikachu has a black
tail. I'm about to get mad.
Tail, mm-hmm. And you Google image it, there's no black tail. And he's like, I don't remember any black tail.
Whatever. He was like zero whenever Pokemon was invented anyway, so he doesn't even know what he's talking about. He was just a baby. Shut up,
Fruit of Loom Cornucopia. Mind blown.
Yeah. All of them. I can honestly
really
say that Springsteen, Fruit of the Loom, The Thinker, and Pikachu. Because I was the opposite of Nick. I was too old for Pokemon.
Right.
But he had them.
Yep, he was
and
famous.
And I would have bet everything I have that the end of Pikachu's tail was black.
Yep.
Well, probably shouldn't do that.
I'm challenged quite a bit. So people will come to me and say, Dave, what is your net worth? Yeah. And I tell them, they're like, okay, Mr. Green Jeans. And I, this is the way that I have, I don't invest
don't
in traditional
this,
markets.
You don't
I take
get this
bets.
Far in life without taking risks,
no.
Rich.
You no. Gotta,
that's true. How did he get so successful if not for doing this?
Yeah, most of my money comes from Mr. Patch's trivia that I will just go toe-to-toe in a bar. So,
really quick before we get to our guest, have you guys heard of the reality show in the UK called Just Tattoo of Us?
Nope.
So it's a reality show where Dave and Tony go into this tattoo shop.
I like it.
Wow.
And you're responsible for picking the tattoo for the other person. The other person has no idea what you're going to pick. They get it blind. Like, they wear goggles that completely cut off their sight. And then at the end of the show, they reveal under the bandage what your tattoo is. The interesting thing is shocker, everyone gives their friend a horrible tattoo that they regret forever. And people cry, and it's emotional, and it's horrible. And I just discovered this show last night, and I've been watching clips, and I'm kind of darkly obsessed with it.
What's it on?
I think it's on MTV in Britain.
So YouTube.
Yeah, YouTube. Exactly. But
Are they encouraged to do that to their... Are they encouraged to do bad things
I
to
think,
people?
I think it's more like...
Or is it like,
the
how
first
well
couple
do you know
of,
each other? Get what, you know... You
I think it's that, but you could also just completely screw someone, and mm-hmm. that's usually what happens. And it's under the guise of like, oh man, I thought you'd love it. I thought it would be so funny. The way I found the show is I found a random video of two girls who did it to each other, and they were actually nice. It was a tattoo that said, like, I love you so much, best friends forever. And all the comments were like, oh, man, usually people are devastated and crying at the end of this. And then I had
then
to look it up.
In.
I had to see what
Remember
the what hubbub was about.
Tim Elwell
yeah.
said,
you could tattoo anything.
I could tattoo anything on his back the size of a fist for $200.
Yep.
That was
anything.
You're on rough times if for $200.
Anything.
Hey, some people are just cool with getting tattoos like that. Like you said, Nick's kind of like that. He's very relaxed about, oh, maybe I'll get this. That's just so not me. I mean, like I said, I don't even have, I know it's not the same thing, but I don't even have my ears pierced. I can't even commit to that. So getting a tattoo seems huge, but letting someone else pick your tattoo
Mm-mm.
blows my mind.
I love all of my tattoos. I'm extremely happy with them. But there are times when I'm like taking a bath or a shower and I'm like, these things are here forever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I will be 110.
Yeah.
What's
this going to look like?
Nick and Phoebe will look like Gollum.
Yeah.
And people will be like, oh, into monster movies, huh? Hey, guys. My studio guest is Todd Simon, who is fifth generation family owner of Omaha Steaks, senior vice president. So no pressure there, Todd, being born into the Omaha Steaks family, right?
None at all. Founded by my great-great-grandfather in 1917, so... No family legacy to protect here.
You're like, you know what? I think I might want to be a dentist. They're like, yeah, like hell you're going to be a dentist. Get in the butcher shop.
That's exactly right. In fact, my kids get mad at me when I overcook steaks. So
oh,
know
my
that,
gosh.
You know.
That's awesome. That's so great. So, I mean, I find it fascinating. Here in St. Louis, of course, like the home of Anheuser-Busch, and I know some of the Bushes and some of the people who, and they talk about how there's a tradition of like when a baby's born into the family, you put a drop of beer in their tongue and that kind of stuff. Anything like that being born into the Omaha Steaks family that from birth you're just like, okay, here you go. This is what we do.
You know, that is so original, but we've never done it. But it sounds like a great idea. I think we need to start something.
Yeah, you can start with the next born, just like shove a piece of steak in their mouth, and they're like, what are you doing? So since 1917...
Anoint them with that.
Exactly. 1917, great-grandfather. Talk about how Omaha Steaks has changed over the years with the times. I mean, my Lord. Talk about 1917 to 2019 with the internet and the whole bit.
So I'd like to think of Omaha Steaks as the original food tech company. We started delivering steaks and gourmet food to people's homes in the mid-1950s. So we've been at it for over 40 years. And that's really, you know, pretty amazing because, you know, a lot of the food delivery companies that have come up in the last just few years, you know, like to think that they're like, they're doing something original. But we've been doing it, you know, like I said, since the mid-50s when we started shipping steaks because my grandfather was getting requests from people who had eaten Omaha steaks on the passenger trains that had provisioned in Omaha. They really enjoyed the steak. They sent a cable and said, send us some of those. And so he would cut steaks by hand, put them in wax line boxes with ice, and put them back on the train and ship them to people. And over time, you know, we invented insulated shipping packaging. We got access to dry ice. The parcel shipping network built out. Toll-free 800 numbers started. The direct marketing industry, you know, became important. And then, of course, there was the internet. So all that helped us grow over the last 50 years.
And Todd, what about people who say, boy, I know Omaha Steaks, they have a great reputation, but I'm not comfortable buying frozen food. If I'm going to buy steaks, I'm going to go to a butcher shop, I'm going to pick it out myself. Help people feel better about that.
Well, I mean, the first thing is that, you know, we've been doing this, you know, for 60 years, so we really know how to do it. The second thing is we back everything we sell with a 100% you must be thrilled satisfaction guarantee, so people can buy with complete confidence because I wouldn't put my family's reputation on the line if I didn't think it was awesome. And then the last thing is we get the first look at the very best beef in the country, being in Omaha, in the heart of beef country, USA. We buy that beef, then we naturally age it for 21 to 28 days. Now, most grocery stores and butcher shops just simply can't or won't do that. And then, at its peak of flavor, we hand cut it, we vacuum seal it, and we flash freeze it. So freezing is the very best preservation method. And what it does is it locks in all the flavor, all the tenderness, puts that steak in a state of suspended animation. So when you thaw it out and cook it at home, it's going to be as good as when we put it into the freezer, and it's going to be better than anything else you have.
So, guys, I've been telling you about this favorite gift package. Again, I'm just going to run through it. For $69.99, 4 filet mignons, 4 pork chops, 4 steak burgers, 4 potatoes au gratin, 4 caramel apple tartlets, also a cutlery set with a cutting board that's probably about 20 meals, and the cutlery and the cutting board that you'll have forever, all simply by going to omahasteaks.com, typing my last name, Glover, into the space bar, and you are there. Todd, thank you for your continued support of the show, and have a great Christmas with your family.
We will. You guys and all your listeners have a great Christmas, too. And keep in mind, we also have a store in the St. Louis area. So if people want to get them on last minute, Omaha Steaks are available. Just go online and find that location.
Perfect. Thank you, Todd.
Okay. Bye-bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.